All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. We're in ninth chapter. I know, he spoke to me. Capitulo nueve. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tu Te Guhyatamam Pravakshyam Yanasuyave Gyanam Vigyana Sahitam Yajgatva Mokshase Shupat Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam Ashradhana Purusha Dharmas yasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu sansara vartmani maya tatam idam sarvam jagaravyakta murtina mastani sarvabhutani nachaham te shvavastitaha nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaisharam Bhuta Prithna Shabhuta Sto Mamatma Bhuta Pavanaha Yata Kasha Stito Nityam Vayu Sarvatra Go Mahan Tata Sarvani Bhutani Matsthani Jupataraya Sarva Bhutani Kanteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kopakshaye Punastani
kalado visrajamyaham, samavashvabhya visrajami punah punah, bhutagramam imam krishnam, avasham prakriter vashat, nachamam tani karmani, nibhananti tananjaya, udasina vadasinam, asaktam teshu karmasu, mayat yakshena prakriti, surate sacharacharam, etunanena kanteya, jagat viparivartate, avajananti mamudha, manushim tanumashritam, param pavam janto, mama bhuta maheshwaram, mokasha moka karmano, moga kyana vicheta saha, rakshasim asurim chaiva, prakritim mohinim shritaha, mahatmanas tumam partha, daivim prakritim asurtaha, vajantyananya manaso, gyatva bhuta imabhyayam, satatam kirtayanto mam, yatantas chadrita prataha, namasyantas chavam bhaktya, nitya yukta upasate, jnana yagena chapyanye, yajanto mam upasate, ekatvena pradaktvena, bhagavata vishvato mukham, aham kratur aham jagya, svataham aham avshatam, mantroham aham evajyam, aham agnir aham utam, pitaham asya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha, vedyam pavitram omkara, riksama yajurevacha, katir partha prabhu sakshi, nivasa sharanam surhit, prabhava pralayasthanam, nithanam bijam avyayam, tapamyaham aham varsham, nigriham yusyamicha, amritam chaiva mrityushcha, Mami parta via pashritya, ye pisu papayonaya, Striyo Vaishastata Shudras Te Biyanti Param Gatim Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajarshayastata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam Manmana Pavamat Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mame Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanah
Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Rajaguhya Yoga Nama Namo Dhyayama. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Haya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shanti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Prasarane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashta Tadesha Tadana. First off, a schedule question. I've led this class so efficiently that we're ahead of schedule, and we have maybe two or three open slots, it looks like we'll have. That is to say, figuring two classes a day, we'll have maybe two or three open slots apart from Thursday's presentation. So we can do one of several things. Either I can stretch out the remaining classes, or I can fill those spots with my infamous Kirtan Reform Seminar that you might have heard of. Or, alternatively, we can dedicate those slots to, hey, you have more time than you thought you were going to have. Or we all have more time than we thought we were going to have. And so you can use it for study or, you know, writing or what have you. So let's get some sense of what you would like.
What would you like to do?
Me? I want to serve. Whichever of the three serves you best.
Third one also serves you, right?
Third one also serves me. Yeah, I've got stuff to do too. And, you know, if you have stuff to do and it suits you better, that's fine with me.
But my personal opinion, if we get with this chance, we won't get another chance to get Kirtan reform.
See, you want to get your money's worth.
No, not the time. I'm talking about the time. That's my personal opinion. No.
How many would prefer that we just have the extra time to do the things that we want to do? One, two, three, four, five. Kaviraj isn't sure. 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's do that again. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Getting more all the time. And how many would prefer Kirtan reform? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's kind of close.
We can invite others for Kirtan reform.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, it's true. I can do a Kirtan reform for 9 people too. That's also possible. You can have your cake and eat it too. You know, or that some can have the cake and some can. But anyway, whatever. You know, half baked analogy comes out of that. Yeah, I can teach it for a smaller group or for whoever would additionally like to come. That's also possible. Should we do that? Yeah, those who'd like to come can come, and those who don't want to come, the hell with you.
Can you briefly, what is that?
Excuse me?
What is it about?
It's a review of Srila Prabhupada's instructions about kirtan, or rather it's a review of some of the things we do today in modern ISKCON kirtan in the light of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. That's what it is. It's about what Srila Prabhupada instructed us concerning kirtan as compared sometimes to what we actually do. What we actually do, what Prabhupada said we should do, and the difference between the two. That's the subject matter. So,
reward. Reward. If you take a word again and see how much value. Reward and see how much.
Well, no, because we are, yes?
How much time does it take to skin and from?
Well, it depends how much questioning there is. I've designed it as a 3-session item. It seems to me it was like about an hour and a half apiece. If we don't get 3 sessions, it's a 2-session item. It's a 2 or 3 session show.
And this would be tomorrow and Friday?
Well, that we can figure out how we're going to schedule it. The first question is answered. If it's okay with the management, those who want to come can come. Those who have other things to do are excused. How's that? Okay, so everybody gets what they want. Good. Now, the next question is how to schedule it. I can either finish up Bhagavad Gita and then do it, or I can mix it. You know, we could do Bhagavad Gita and then we can do in the second session Kirtan Reform. You like that? I see some heads nodding for that.
Do you need the projector for it?
No, I don't need a projector. I can just do it.
But
sound would be helpful. But sound, you got little speakers?
Yes.
That work on batteries?
Yes.
I'll
have to double check. No.
Okay, if you can have it by the afternoon session, do we have them here?
Like a speaker that would plug into a laptop?
Yeah.
And it can run on power from the wall.
No, because only if you give us the room in the afternoons.
Gotcha. I'll have to make an inquiry.
Okay, most of those little speakers do run on batteries. Because they're designed to be portable, taken with your laptop kind of batteries, kind of speakers.
Yeah, we have portable to Jagannath Mandir the other day.
It's portable.
Yeah, it's portable. Yeah.
They plug into your laptop?
Yeah, it's possible.
You can plug into a microphone.
I mean, everything's possible, but, you know, in terms of are they designed and does it have the plug and you just plug it in and it goes. Audio in is usually a different kind of plug.
Do any of the students have portable speakers?
I think Gopal Dev has portable, but I'm not sure it's more productive. Actually, Gopal Dev was having a wire, he was connecting to the top and testing here and it was working everything. But I'm not sure that he left everything. We have to check it.
Who was that?
Gopal Dev.
Okay. All right, so Yashoda Dula is going to do his best at the earliest, and we will mix the schedule. Today is Tuesday. Today and tomorrow, we'll mix it, Bhagavad Gita and Kirtan Reform. Thursday is divine and demonic, and we'll see whether how long that lasts. It'll definitely fill up the morning session. We'll see if it spills over into the second session. And that still leaves us enough room for a third session, and we may have an empty session still. Okay, now that we've done our calculations, we are in just about the middle of this chapter. We've heard about something about the glories of Krishna, how he sends forth and winds up everything, the cosmic manifestation, how the entire cosmic manifestation runs under his personal control, not just automatically by material interactions. And we've heard how foolish people minimize him, denigrate him, deride him when he appears as a human being. Parampava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. They don't understand his superior nature. Now Krishna says, mokasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asarim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrutaha. Mokha means bewildered, frustrated, baffled. Moga asha. All their hopes are dashed. Moga karmano. All their pious deeds for elevation are baffled. All their hopes, all their pious deeds, all their cultivation of knowledge, it's all frustrated, it's all baffled, it's all yes, it's all brought to nothing. Why? Vichetasa. Because they are averse to Krishna consciousness. Vichetasa, Prabhupada gives us bewildered. Vichetasa also means vimukha chetasa, turning against Krishna. Avajananti mamudha. They deride Krishna, they think everything's happening by material nature, or everything's happening by their own prowess, their own capability. So Krishna says all of their dreams, all of their work, all of their knowledge is all baffled. Rakshasim, asrim chaiva. Krishna says they're demons and rakshasas. What does Prabhupada call them? Demonic and atheistic. Okay. Rakshasas and asuras. That will come up again in the 16th chapter. Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita. Shrita means taking shelter. They do take shelter. But what do they take shelter of? Who was saying?
Demoniac principles.
I couldn't hear.
Taking shelter of demoniac principles.
Demoniac principles. Yes. What is that more precisely?
Baffling of knowledge, becoming one with God. Illusory energy.
Yeah, the illusory energy. Prakritim mohinim. The Prabhupada says glaring material energy, the tricky, the bewildering, the illusory nature. They take shelter of Maya. And Maya says, oh, so nice, you've taken shelter of me. I can kick the daylights out of you. Prakritim mohinim shrita. They make so many big, big plans, and everything's smashed. Just like that woman, she was hoping to be president of Pakistan. And now she's assassinated. Huh? Yeah. Oh, her big dreams were smashed by the material energy. Someone else has some plan to build some great thing, and it's smashed. Someone else has a plan to do something, and it's smashed. Someone else has a great theory, and they build up their great theory, and the next the scientist or philosopher comes and smashes it. Then everything is smashed. Or they do so many pious activities and they make one mistake. And it's all
lost. Prakritim mohinim shrutaha. Finally, everything is taken away by material nature. Death comes, mrityu sarvaharas jaham. And it all comes to nothing. They were taking shelter, but they've taken shelter where there is no shelter. They've taken shelter. You know, it's like a person who, in war, takes shelter of the, you know, he thinks it's going to be his own camp, and it turns out to be an enemy camp. So instead of being welcomed with open arms, he's welcomed with bayonets. So prakritim mohinim shrutaha. They take shelter of maya. And in this way, they're bewildered. Prabhupada also quotes a very good verse. This is an extra value-added verse for the second edition. Yo veti bhautikam deham krishnasya paramatmana sasarvasmad bahiskarya shrotasmarta vidaya vidhanataha mukam tapasya valokyapi sachelam snanam acharet. If you even see the face of one of these people who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary human being with a material body, then you should at once take bath in the Ganges with all your clothes, I think. If you even see his face. So that's the nature of these people. Any question about that? Yes.
Just once, some people asked me about this question. Ganga is in India, so if we're not in India, what should we do? This kind of question, how to answer it?
Be careful about where you turn your, who you look at. Well, you can always take bath in whatever bath water is available, you know. Blind uncle's better than no uncle. Just take bath in whatever you find. Or else here you are in Mayapur, keep a little Ganga water handy because chances are you're going to meet these people out there. Take some back with you. We heard that water increases by mixing, so you can take a little Ganga, you know, like the way you take a little eucalyptus or oil or something and put it in the water, just take a little Ganga and put it in a bucket. Or else chant Hare Krishna, you know. The Ganga Devi is there wherever Krishna is there. Yes? No?
Yeah. Many devotees, they assume to be Krishna conscious, but they don't accept as Krishna.
There's something I should tell you. And that is, if you speak real loud, but make some of you softer, it's hard to hear what you're saying when you do that. So it's good to be consistently loud.
Devotees assume to be Krishna conscious.
Yes.
But at the same time, they don't accept Krishna in their heart.
Don't accept Krishna in their heart means what?
It's given the purpose, so I do not understand.
Where is it?
First line.
They say, yeah. They don't accept Krishna as the absolute truth. They think that Krishna is maybe a great teacher, or Krishna's a symbol of the impersonal absolute, or Krishna's this, or Krishna's that, but they don't accept Krishna as Param Brahma. Krishna, Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You're the supreme. Or Krishna says, Purushottam, in the 15th chapter. Yomam eva masamuto janati Purushottam. He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Purusham shashvitam divyam. They don't accept that. So even though they love Krishna, you know, you meet people, they love Krishna. Krishna is their Ishta Devata, all of that. But of course Krishna is not a person. Not ultimately. But that's those people. There's no difference between Krishna and Shiva and Brahma and Ganesh.
I love Krishna.
But I love Krishna. So that's not going to get us there. Ekeha Guru Nandana. Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Any other questions here? Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritam ashrita. Bhajantya nanya manaso gyatva bhutarim avyayam. Now there's that two again. But on the other hand, there are those who take shelter of daivim prakriti. These other people took shelter of prakriti mohini. But here, daivi prakriti, the divine energy, the spiritual energy of the Lord, and bhajanti, they engage in devotional service, ananya manasa. Ananya manasa means?
Without division of your mind.
Without, are you reading it? What does it say? You're reading
without
it?
Without division of your mind.
Without division of the mind. What does that mean?
And one point, focus, one pointedness.
Yes, one pointed. Mind. Gyatva bhutarim avyayam. Knowing that I'm the origin of everything and that I'm inexhaustible, they take shelter of me. Mahatma. We hear this word, Mahatma. Prabhupada likes to comment how it's given as a rubber stamp to politicians and so on. But Mahatma means one who takes shelter of the divine energy of Krishna. Mahatman is tu mam partha. Or later, or elsewhere, sa Mahatma Sudurlava. Several places. He's a Mahatma. So, and daivim prakriti, Prabhupada, what is daivim prakriti?
Divine spiritual
master.
Under the guidance of the spiritual master.
That's good. Under the divine, the guidance of the spiritual master, who's the representative of Krishna. What else does Prabhupada say about daivim prakriti? Yes. Here, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas find that a hidden reference to Srimati Radharani. She's the Lord's prakriti, his spiritual energy. Daivi prakriti, spiritual energy. So the devotees take shelter of Krishna and Krishna's spiritual energy by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Daivim prakriti mantra. Any questions? Yes?
Yeah, actually, Krishna is dividing all people into categories who are devotees, but pure devotees and who are not. But in the previous shloka, he's telling that Moksha Karma, usually in the same way, not pure devotees, they only come to.
Whoa, you're doing what he was doing.
So usually, like, we understand that who are not devotees, they are like, you know, want to be successful in their karma, like, you know, they're doing something, karma kanda or so on. But Krishna is telling that who are not pure devotees, they're all moksha karma. And so finally, like.
Well, he specifically said, those who deride me, abhijananti mam mudha.
So anybody like who's not getting devotees, so he's.
Well, specifically, those who are, you know, a person who's not a devotee, that's one thing, but a person who's, oh, Krishna, he's, you know, he has no hands, he has no legs, he has no this, he has no that. Or, you know, why
should we, why do we need to drag in the idea of God? Nature is independently capable of producing everything that we see. There's no need of any God. This idea is simply created animosity and savage mentality in human society. We need to rid human society of this obnoxious idea of God.
You know, those people. That's a little bit more than not being a devotee.
Like, others are pure devotees.
Why are you dragging in? Others are pure devotees?
Because he's there in like one sort of people, so it's like taking shelter of.
He's specifically mentioning those who are pure devotees, Ananya Manasa, and those who are demonic. And then we know also there are those who are innocent. In Srimad Bhagavatam we find that there are innocent persons. They're neither taking shelter of Krishna's divine energy, nor bad-mouthing Krishna. They're just ignorant. So they're innocent persons. Is that all right? Okay. Anything else here? Satatam kirtiyanto mam yatantas cha dritha vritaha namasyantas cha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Krishna says further about the Mahatmas, what is their engagement? Satatam kirtiyanto mam. What's the from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Kirtaniya Sadahari, Satatam Kirtiyanto Ma. Same thing. Yatantas cha dritha vritaha. And always fully endeavoring to serve Krishna. Dritha vritaha, bhajante imam dritha vritaha. They're serving Krishna with great intensity, with great conviction. Namasyantas jamam bhaktya, offering obeisances to Krishna with devotion. Nitya yukta upasate, worshipping Krishna, always engaged in his service. Yes. So the Mahatmas are described here. There was an interesting exchange. Some of you familiar with that? Prabhupada's correspondence with Dr. J.F. Stahl?
Yeah.
Fritz Stahl? A professor at University of California in Berkeley, at least in Prabhupada's time. And there were devotees were trying to introduce a course on campus in Bhagavad Gita. And the newspaper interviewed Dr. Stahl, who said, well, I think they're too busy chanting to develop a philosophy. You know, basically kind of sentimental people, nice, but not much philosophy there. And the devotees tried to respond to him, but they were not very effective. And then Prabhupada stepped into the act and began corresponding with him. And Dr. Stahl said, well, I find that with your letter, the discussion comes to a new level, which for Prabhupada was a rather unhappy comment, because he took it to mean that the devotees had not been very... why were the devotees not more capable of answering it? We have so many books, we have everything. They should have been able to answer. But anyway, Prabhupada answered him, and there was some back and forth, and Dr. Stahl at one point said, of course the Gita doesn't require chanting. It deals with so many topics, karma and this and that, which I deal with in my course on Indian religion. And Prabhupada said, you say that the Gita doesn't, you know, call for chanting, but I think you've missed this verse. Satatam kirti anto mam. And here Prabhupada says it speaks of the engagement of the great souls. They're always engaged in chanting the glories of Krishna. And Dr. Stahl responded, and he said, well, kirtiyanto doesn't have to mean chanting. It can mean murmuring, it can mean speaking, it can mean discussing, it can mean so many things.
Chanting the Vedanta
reciting Vedanta can mean so many things. And Prabhupada accepted, he said, all right, it can mean speaking about, discussing, chanting, but about whom? And Prabhupada said, the significant word in this connection is Ma. You don't have to be a big Sanskrit scholar to know that. Fritz Stahl is a big Sanskrit scholar, probably. So the significant word in this connection is Ma. It's about Krishna. You know, you're bringing in all this stuff. Well, it doesn't have to be chanting. It could be this. Yeah, but about who? About Krishna. So Prabhupada, it seems, won that bout, won that argument. Satatam kirtiyam to Ma. And the course was accepted also. So satatam kirti yanto ma and nitya yukto pasite. Prabhupada also quoted sthane rishikesha tava prakirtya in the 10th chapter, 11th chapter. The whole world becomes joyful by hearing your name. Parishrakyana rajyate cha. So satatam kirti yanto ma. It's all about Krishna. It's not about the demigods. It's not about anyone else. Satatam, always glorifying Krishna. And Prabhupada said, in other words, he's not an impersonalist. One has to glorify the personality of Godhead. Any questions here? The devotees are the actual Mahatmas as found in Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Gyanaya gena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena pritaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Gyanaya anye. Anye means others. And Prabhupada takes it two ways. Anye means we've talked about the Mahatmas, now there's some other people who are not Mahatmas. We've talked about the Mahatmas. Now we'll talk about some other people. Or I heard Prabhupada explain it one time by saying, others, they're also Mahatmas, but they're kind of like the second tier Mahatmas. You know, they're others, the other Mahatmas. Just like there are VIPs, and then there are other people. They're also people, but they're the other people. So, other people. Anya. Gyanaya gena yajanto ma upasate. Still they're engaged in the service of Krishna. Gyanaya gya. By pursuing knowledge. Or ekatvena pritaktvena. Seeing the Lord, Prabhupada said, as one without a second, or as diverse in many, ekatvena pritaktvena, simultaneous oneness and multiplicity, and bahudha vishvato mukham, or in the universal form. So Prabhupada summarizes this by saying that there are these three sections. One, the person who worships himself as one with the Supreme Lord. These are those who are doing Gyana Yajna. There's a system called Ahangrahopasana. Have you heard of that? Ahangrahopasana?
Yeah.
Basically, it's the realization that I'm also identical with God. That's also something. Yosavaso purushaha sohamasmi. I'm also God, which is true qualitatively, not quantitatively. So at least they realize something of the nature of God by considering themselves. They come to the point of understanding that their consciousness, and so they get some idea about the nature of the Supreme. That's for the beginners. in spiritual advancement. And those who concoct some form of the Supreme Lord and worship that, or Prabhupada equates that those people with the Bhavishravadis. I don't see it here, but I've seen it. Those who worship the various demigods and, you know, basically make any demigod the supreme. Now, you can worship any god because at the end they're all the same. There he says, the second class includes the worshippers of the demigods, those who by imagination consider any form to be the form of the Supreme Lord. And the third group are those who can't conceive of anything beyond the material universe. So they consider the universe to be the supreme organism or entity and worship that. We talked yesterday about the Gaia hypothesis, which is has some popularity in some circles, the idea that the earth is like a divine mother, that it's a kind of an organism, it's a living thing, it's not just material dead stuff that, as we imagine, it's actually a living what would they say, a living truth, a living thing. So they basically worship the earth or the material manifestation, the cosmos. That's because that's as far as they can go in their thinking. These days it's trickled down in a still more mundane sense. You know, people want to be ecologists. You know, you go to a high school and what do people want to be? They want to be ecologists. And they want to help the earth, and they want to save the porpoises, and they want to make the earth a better, you know, help man be more in harmony with the earth, and so on. So it's the same idea, that somehow to serve the earth. They don't get to the point of serving the source of the earth, but just serving the earth. So this is something like the worshippers of the universal form. For them, even the scientists, you know, they're kind of universe worshippers. Material nature is so great. Oh, they're indirectly worshipping Krishna. Indirectly means actually they're engaged in Maya. So indirectly, they're approaching Krishna. Any question here? How many questions? No question. Yes?
Actually, there is an answer to that, which I was asking about that course. Pretty much it's also that, who are completely denying any existence of God, they are like Mokasha, and this still can't succeed in their.
Yeah, these are people who can still go somewhere if they're a little fortunate. They, especially if they come in touch with devotees, they can make further progress.
Because they're. Some form, they're just trying to understand something.
Yeah, they're trying to gyana yajna, they're trying to understand by cultivation of knowledge or by this idea of even the demigod worshippers, Prabhupada sometimes gave them some credit. At least they accept that there's a superior authority. And the universal form, we read about realization of the universal form as being the first step in God realization. So there's some opportunity there. Good. Any other questions? Okay. Yes?
To worship the Supreme Lord as one without a second.
Yeah.
One without a second or one without wasting a second.
No, it has nothing to do with that wasting a second. Nothing like that. Ekatvena, that the Supreme Lord is, it's said in the Upanishads, Eka Brahma Dvitiya Nasti, that the Supreme is one, and there's no second Supreme. There's no co-Supreme. You know, like sometimes we have a co-chairman.
It means that if one chairman's not there, the other one's just as good. Or we have a generator and a backup generator. So, you know, if the first one doesn't work, we have the second one. But Krishna is irreplaceable. There's no second Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eka Brahma, Tutiya Nasti.
Is it this also referring to them, like, you know, some like theologies that there, like there's God, there's devil, right? And it's getting like there's two confronting sides, like, one without second, that like, there's only God.
Yeah, I doubt that Krishna is specifically commenting on Christian doctrine here.
No, but in general, it's like all that my body is telling all of like there's only everything is like Brahman, like it wasn't.
Yeah.
And others believe like.
Well, you know, in fairness, we have Maya, who is supposed to be, you know, there's Krishna and then there's Maya. So there's God and then there's the devil.
Maya is Krishna's energy.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how Christian theology works. Whether pressed, they would accept that the devil is also in some way dependent on God or... a manifestation of God in some way. Gee, I'm not a Christian theologian and I don't have a lot of Christian theologian friends to talk about it with, so I couldn't say. I would just offer that it's unlikely that Krishna is spotlighting that idea in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. You could always make a case for it, but it would be a pretty thin case. But it does raise questions, of course. It is an interesting topic for if you wanted to get into theological dialogue with or theological discussion. You could ask some well-informed Christians. No use talking to people who aren't well-informed on this, but you could speak to some people and ask them, what is your idea about Satan or Lucifer or the devil or whatever you call him? Is he an independent agent, or is he in some way carrying out part of God's will, or is, you know, what's his ontological position? You know, who is this guy? And listen and see what they say. I don't really know the answer. I haven't delved into devilology.
Slight answer to that, if I may.
Excuse me?
Lucifer was one of the four principal angels. Gabriel, Raphael, Michael, and Lucifer. And Lucifer is the devil. And he went down from heaven to look after hell.
So he's... he's like a blooped angel, or is he on a mission for God?
Tainted by Krishna consciousness. No, I think he's like Yamaraj.
Oh, so he's actually doing a thankless task in obedience to God, because he's often portrayed as being disobedient.
Like an angel, it's not like some angel who is accepted.
No, he has envy.
Well, certainly in Paradise Lost, he's depicted as being rebellious and envious and so on. But as I say, I'm sure there are different takes on devilishness in according to different theological angles of vision. I know there are some rock people who have sympathy for him, but that's another issue. Okay, it takes us a little far afield from today's subject matter, but even the devil worshippers, we could say, are indirectly worshipping Krishna.
Accepting some supreme power.
They accept, even if they... Though we'd certainly consider it to be in the mode of ignorance. You know, even you take the real creepy devil worshippers, you know, the people who do terrible, nasty things and offer it all to Satan and so on.
Hmm?
Kali Puja is an analogy in India.
Kali Puja?
It's an India analogy of devil worshippers.
No, Kali Puja is not. No, Kali Puja is not really on that level. No, the devil worship, you know, I mean, you know, the satanic rites where they do all, you know, the flowery young girls and all that kind of stuff. That's a different league from Kali Puja. Completely.
It's like tantrics.
Excuse me?
I mean, tantrics, maybe not Kali Puja, but it's like tantrics.
Yeah, the people who are doing, you know, black, left-handed things and the deep mode of ignorance. Even they are indirectly worshipping Krishna, but very indirectly. Yes, we'll come to that. Thank you. Aham kratur aham yagya. Aham kratur aham yagya. Svadhaham aham oshatam. Mantroham aham evajyam. Aham agnir aham hutam. So here we come to the Krishna is again bringing himself forward as the center of attention, this time with reference to Vedic sacrifices. These are all aspects or references to Vedic elements of Vedic sacrifice. Kratu, the rituals, Jagya, the sacrifice itself, Svadha, the oblation, the offering, Aushadham, the herb that's offered, the mantras, the ghee, the fire, the whole thing. All the elements in the Vedic sacrifice are really representations of Krishna, or as Prabhupada says, the Vedic sacrifice recommended are in total also Krishna. So those who are engaged in devotional service have performed all these sacrifices because they're engaged directly in the service of Krishna. Any questions here? Yes?
Prabhupada says a verbal purport considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter.
Mm-hmm. Just like we offer Lord Jagannath when he's ill. We offer him some fruit juice, and that's understood to be a kind of medicine. So something like that. There's a sacrifice, there are oblations offered, and the oblations are regarded as a kind of oshadi. Oshadi means medicine. Okay, any other question? Okay. Pitaha masya jagato, mata dhata pitamaha. Vejam pavitram omkar riksama yajure evacha. Here, again, Vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. So he's the father of the universe, pitaham, asya, jagata, and mata, dhata, pitamaha. He's the mother of the universe, and he's the grandfather of the universe. And Prabhupada comments here that our father, our own father and mother and grandfather and so on, they're also manifestations of Krishna. Huh? These living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc. are nothing but Krishna. Because they're the marginal energy of Krishna. And the creator, the grandmother, the grandfather, they're also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. Generally, Prabhupada takes a very dualistic stance. You know, there's us and there's Krishna. But here, Prabhupada accepts that, yes, everyone is also Krishna. Because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna's energy. So, shakti, shakti, mateyora, bheda. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's energy. So here, the father, the mother, and everyone is also identical with Krishna. at the same time that we're different from Krishna. And Vedyam, Pavitram, Omkar, the syllable Om in the Vedic literature, and subject matter which is to be known, that purifying subject matter, that's Krishna. Riksama, Yajurevacha, these three Vedas, they're also Krishna. So Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Any questions here? Yes? I wondered that myself, I don't know. We tried to find that out in the last time I gave this course. We failed. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Atharva Veda is mentioned, right? In the 10th chapter? I think so. Brihat Sama Tata Samna. That's the Atharva Veda. Brihat Sama is in the Atharva Veda. So everything gets in there. Any other questions here so far?
Yes. Krishna here he's describing himself like in the 7th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the main difference of the knowledge of the Absolute in the 7th chapter and this most confidential knowledge that Krishna is explaining in 9th chapter?
Good question. How is what's presented in 7th chapter different from 9th chapter? In one sense, it's not different. Krishna is hacking away at the same theme. I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every living being is my servant. Your business is to surrender to me. But Krishna is going a little deeper in the 9th chapter. He'll still more directly speak about devotional service. Your Satatam Kirti Anto Maham, how the devotees are glorifying me. At the end of the chapter, how the devotees, even the person who appears to be most misbehaved is a sadhu if he's engaged in Krishna's service. So more deeply he's discussing the same thing, devotional service. Devotion. Is that okay?
Krishna is the object of knowledge.
Yes.
Is it material and spiritual knowledge or only spiritual knowledge? And the object.
What do you think? When Krishna says, I'm the object of knowledge, does it mean material knowledge or spiritual knowledge or both?
Both.
Does it mean material or spiritual or both?
Both.
Both. Why do you say that?
Material knowledge is coming from this Vedas, four Vedas.
Yeah.
You mentioned Vedas, and Krishna says, I am Vedas.
Yeah. Yeah, even the material knowledge. Finally, if there's nothing but Vasudev, Krishna, then whatever you know is nothing but Vasudev. Even the material, if you know something about matter, you know something about Krishna. But you don't know that you know something about Krishna. Yes?
10.22 says, Vedanam Samavedas
me. Ah.
Of the Vedas, I am the Samavedas, the demigods. It just specifically says
Samaveda. Yeah, Samaveda is there. But here it's also Sama. So where's the Tarva? That's the one that's missing. Yeah. But Brihat Sama Tata Sam Nam. That's from the Atharva Veda. Brihat Sama. I think it's mentioned. Who's got their computer? Nobody has their computer today. Oh, yeah, you can look in the index. Indexes. Remember indexes from the days before we had computers? We had some
10:35.
Okay, no, Brihat Sama is in the Sama Veda, of course. So, Tarva.
Basically, the Tarva Veda is mentioned, I remember that it's like some supplementary, it's not about directly.
I don't know if the Tarva Veda gets into someplace else.
10.8.
10.8?
Purport of
10.8. Purport. I don't know if we're going to give credit for the purport. Looking for 10. Yeah, it's mentioned in the purport, but we're looking for Krishna mentioning it in Bhagavad Gita that we haven't found. Okay. Yes?
Why is that mentioned like Trividya, Aishwarya?
I mean, I don't know that either. Trividya through the three Vedas when there are four. Do not know.
Basically, all the three Vedas is spiritual, all the Yagas, Vedic Yagas is.
The three Vedas, and what's in the fourth one?
Fourth is like some supplementary, independent, like some.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Shall we move on? Gatir Bharata Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surhit Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Krishna says, I'm the goal, I'm the sustainer of everything, I'm the Supreme Lord, I'm the witness, I'm the nivas, abode. Nivas means a place where someone lives, just like you will see like Modi Nivas or Agarwal Nivas, right? Just means their house, just like we find some house. Yeah, the place where Sri lives. So Nivas means the residence. Sharanam, the shelter. And Suhit, the most intimate friend. Prabhava Pralayasthanam, the source of creation and dissolution. And Nidhanam, the resting place, and Bijam Abhiyam, the seed of everything. But Krishna's all of these, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Again, Prabhupada says, everything's, again, the residences, countries, or planets on which we live are also Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should approach Krishna directly, for that will save time and energy. Any other questions here? Okay. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigranami utsrijami cha Amritam chaiva mrityus cha sadasach chaham arjuna. I give heat, I withhold or send forth the rain. I'm immortality and death, both of them. And both spirit and matter are in me. Prabhupada glosses sadasat as spirit and matter. Since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form comprising all material manifestations is also Krishna, and his pastimes in Vrindavan as two-handed Shyam Sundar playing on a flute are those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who prefer the first edition can have both being and non-being are in me. Well, Prabhupada does gloss in the second chapter that existent and non-existent refer to matter and spirit. usually you see being and non-being used in non-Vaishnava contexts, Buddhist contexts, or other philosophical contexts. But Prabhupada gives sadasat as being spirit and matter, more consistent with his usual presentation. Any questions here? Okay, we were talking about Trividya, three Vedas. Trividya mam somapa putapa pa yagyar ishtva swargatin pratyante te punyam asadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divideva bhogan. Now Krishna is going to talk about, again, the Vedas, and especially the Vedic project of attaining the Svargaloka, the heavenly planets. Somapa means those who drink soma, the particular drink of the gods. Bhutapapa, Trividya, those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma, Yagyar Ishtva, Svargatim Pratyante, and who are seeking the heavenly planets, they're praying to obtain the goal of Svargaloka. Te punyama sadya surendra lokam ashnanti. They can attain surendra loka, the world of the king of the demigods, Lord Indra, and enjoy ashnanti divyan divi deva bhogan, the bhoga of the demigods, the enjoyment of the heavenly planets, godly delights. Any questions? Yes?
Yes, it is said here that they drink this soma juice here on this planet, but this soma juice is from heavenly planets.
I'm not sure about that. Whether in sacrifice there's some sort of way to participate in soma drinking, I'm not quite sure. Or whether one has to wait to get there. I'm not quite clear on that. Vedic sacrifices are a little cloudy on them. Yeah?
I just remember we read about the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and that's mentioned. That
they were drinking the soma there.
They were drinking before the...
Yeah.
There was a ceremony in which the juice was extracted, and then with a specific priest, and it was drunk by the...
There you are.
Dwapara Yug.
Hmm?
Dwapara Yug. Could have that influence.
Dwapara Yug? Yeah, it's hard to get good soma these days.
And before demigods also came, when sacrifices were made.
Yeah, the demigods came. Maybe they brought some soma. You know, they had, you know, suppliers from the heavenly planets. These days, people are interested in lower things than soma. Okay. Now we're going to find out where this all leads. Te tam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam kshinye punye marchulokam vishanti evam trayid dharmam anuprapanna Katagatam kama kama lapante. Bhuktva, having enjoyed Svargalokam, heavenly planets, Vishalam. Vishal means extensive. The extensive pleasures, the broad, extensive pleasures of Indraloka. Shine punye martyalokam vishanti. This is the key line. Punya kshina. their punya gets used up. Everyone understands this concept of punya as credit? Huh? You earn so much credit and then you can enjoy, but you're using up your credit. And when your credit balance reaches a certain low, then Martyalokam Vishanti, back down to Martyaloka, this earth. The earth is called Martyaloka because people die fast here. Actually, the whole world is Martyaloka, the world of death. But it appears that the demigods live forever. Amar, those who don't die, because they live fabulously long lifetimes by our calculation. But kshine punye Martyalokam Vishanti, then when their punya gets used up, down they come.
What is the difference of punya and sukriti?
No, I don't know. They may be synonymous terms.
Punya is highest activity.
Yeah, so sukriti.
Sukriti is like spiritual.
Huh? Sukriti just means good activity. Kriti means meritorious acts, and su means very good. Sukriti and punya seem to be jana sukriti and arjana.
Sukriti kind of like definitions of like good activities, and punya is what is earned by the sukriti. Punya always translated as credit.
Punya karma. I don't know that punya, that makes punya like an adjective and sukriti like a noun, maybe. But
phala means fruit, the result. Result means phala, fruit. Punya phala. So maybe you're using punya as phala.
In any case, the meaning is essentially the same. Sukriti and punya are, seem to be,
Punya means fruit.
Punya phala means the fruit of punya. So punya can, not the punya is the fruit, but punya yields the fruit. The fruit of the punya is that you get to go to Surendra Loka, and all the nice girls are there, and you drink soma, and beautiful gardens, and you look like something really good. And you live for thousands of years, and you can, you know, really enjoy godly delights up on heavenly planets. And this appears to be what we hear about in various traditions, where they talk about going to heaven, and, you know, that's what heaven is. It's a place where, you know, there's lots of virgins waiting for you, and there's lots of apsaras waiting for you, where there's, you know, whatever it is that you wanted to have waiting for you is waiting for you in heaven.
Don't play cricket in heaven. Cricket.
Cricket in heaven, I see. Uh-huh.
The Olympic in heaven.
Okay. Those who want to play cricket will find... I can't say, you know. But okay, cricket. I think there's more interesting things there than cricket, but in any case, whether it's cricket or the Nandakanana Gardens or whatever it is that you were hoping for and that you might actually get in the heavenly planets, you lose. Because when your punya runs out, down you come, back to earth. Evam trayi dharmam anuprapanna. So by following this religious path of Vedic sacrifice, and Vedic study, and Vedic pious activities, gata gatam kama kama labhante. One just comes and goes. Cultivating so many desires, one comes and goes. And we saw that with the Chandogya Upanishad, how someone was going up, becoming the enjoyer on the moon, and then coming down, the
form of rain, and then grains, and then back down to becoming a human being again, and then doing pious activities, and going up again, and coming down. And Prabhupada says, like on a Ferris wheel, sometimes going up and sometimes coming down. No permanent solution to the problems of life. Any questions here? Excuse me?
What?
Let's do that again.
Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel. What is a Ferris wheel? Can someone concisely describe a Ferris wheel? Exhibition make, butt of chakra. That's Ferris wheel. Now you know what it is, huh? Ferris wheel. All right, any last questions? Yes?
I don't know whether it's too early to ask this question. Because we are in most.
Well, it's 11:15. Go ahead.
I mean, the most confidential knowledge. See, on this Tulin book, say confidential means jnana, more confidential is bhakti, and most confidential pure devotion.
Yeah.
Okay, and elsewhere, I think if you are going to Maharaj lecture, he said more confidential means about Brahman, and more confidential about Paramatma, and most confidential about Bhagavan.
Yeah, so okay. There are different ways of taking that. So I think I've seen that also, that Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan, confidential, more confidential, most confidential. I think when Prabhupada explains in the 18th chapter, he explains it that way. So there are different ways of taking it, you know, confident. That's what you'll find in commentaries. The commentators will take something like confidential, more confidential, most confidential, and give it from different angles of vision. Something else? All right, we are going to stop. And shall we do our Kirtan Reform seminar in the afternoon today? I think we shall.
Yes.
That gives all of 15 minutes for you to see if you can scramble up a... If you can. If you can't, we'll get on without it. Meanwhile, you're all on break.